And grandparenting, being godly grandparents, and I'd like to give you about five things I think that can help you that are grandparents or will be grandparents someday to consider. And so in Proverbs chapter number 16 and verse number 31, we read this verse from the Bible. It says, "The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness." Now the word hoary, H-O-A-R-Y, means gray. It's a synonym for gray, the gray head. Those that have gray hair, it says, is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. We've had a little theme that we've been visiting a few times this year. On the wood plaque behind me, from we have one every year. This year, the word is godliness. In your bulletin and in the Bible, it tells us our theme verse for the year, 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. It says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Godliness will profit a person in this life and profit a person in the next one to come, and that is the long one. And the Bible says here that senior citizens should be found in the way of righteousness. The hoary head, the gray head, is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Kind of a big if there, but I want to encourage you that are senior citizens to be found in the way of righteousness. Be sure you know Christ as your Savior. We have no righteousness of our own, but He can impute or He can put righteousness to our account if we will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And the Bible says, "Then at that moment the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, and the righteousness of Christ is imputed or put to our account." So the Lord no longer sees our righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ in whom we are trusting. So examine your soul this morning to make sure you are saved. Again, saved is a Bible word. It's not something that's invented to try to manipulate people emotionally or spiritually. It's a Bible word. In Acts 16 and verse 31, it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shall be saved." So imputed righteousness comes at salvation, but we are also to have a practical righteousness that we're talking about today, or godliness, that will help grandparents. Now, I heard about a preacher, famous preacher, way back in the early 1980s. He had a group of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of teenagers who had attended a large youth rally, like what we're going to try to have here Friday night, only bigger. And hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of teenagers, I don't remember. But that preacher, who was a well-known preacher, got up and announced his text and his subject. And he said, "I want to preach to you teens today on this subject, how to be a good grandparent." How to be a good grandparent. And he taught them all about how being a good grandparent, and a bunch of them sat there, I'm sure, itching their heads, wondering, "What's this got to do with me? I'm here to live right now." But boy, life goes by fast. And almost 30 years have gone by since that sermon was preached. And you know what some of those young people who heard that sermon are becoming today? They're becoming grandparents. When you really think about it, when was the last time you ever heard any instruction across the pulpit of a church anywhere that taught people how to be good grandparents? You don't hear about it much, and yet it's the fourth realm, and it's one of the most powerful realms that a man or a woman can ever live in. See, God is a God who often gives us a first chance and a second chance and a third chance. Have you ever noticed that? And if you blow it one time, He gives you another chance to do it. You know, it's kind of like four realms that most people, not all, but most people live in about four realms. The first realm is the single life, when they're children and they're teenagers, maybe they're in their 20s or 30s, never been married, and they live in the single realm. That especially today can be a very, very powerful realm, because there seems to be so much sin amongst that group of people nowadays. And they're almost indoctrinated to live that way by the world and the flesh and the devil and television and everything else. But you know, if a young man or a young woman will choose to be holy and godly and chaste and virgin and pure and so on and live for the Lord, they can have a powerful, powerful influence on their peers. And boy, they'll stick out and they'll be a bright and shining light for the Lord in their youth. Sometimes people blow it in that realm, but then God seems to give us a second chance and marriage comes along, and now a man lives in the realm of being a husband and a woman lives in the realm of being a wife, and their influence isn't so great, but that wife can be a great influence on her husband for righteousness. That husband can be a great influence on his wife for righteousness. Ephesians 5 says that's really the main reason why he should marry a wife, is to help her spiritually. And so there can be a great and profound influence in helping somebody else to serve the Lord. Usually as a result of that union, children come along. And we now live in a third realm of life. A man becomes a father. A woman becomes a mother. And boy, you talk about power. The Bible says the glory of children are their fathers. And man, little boys and little girls start coming along and growing up, and they may have one or two or three or five or 10 children, and boy, those children just look up to dad. And they look up to mom, and the children rise up and call her blessed, and that mother's love is a profound influence, and that mother's prayers is a profound influence in the lives of those children. That little congregation that God has given that father and mother to pastor while they raise those kids for the Lord. But you know something? There's times where people will blow it in each one of these realms, and they'll maybe even feel like failures. They'll look back to their youth and say, boy, did I blow it? I wish I still have regrets to this day from the things I did, the decisions I made, the choices I made, the behavior I was involved in my youth. And then sometimes they go to the next realm. They become a husband or a wife, and they blow that. In fact, the thing might not even work. The thing may end up in divorce or something, or separation or misery. And they feel, you know, I've really blown that realm. And then they think of themselves maybe as fathers and mothers, and they think, boy, I'm a failure there. I didn't raise my kids to do exactly what they should do, and a lot of it's my own fault. And I wish I could go back and do that over again. And maybe as a father and mother, they feel like a failure. But it's almost like God looks at folks like this, and maybe those that have been a good example and so have had some success in those first three realms. But some people just feel like a failure. And all of a sudden, there's one last chance tagged on to the end of our life, and that's to be grandparents. And all of a sudden, grandchildren come along who don't know a thing about you, never saw what you ever did, and never heard what you ever said. And you may have been a failure up to that realm, but it's almost like God sticks that realm at the end of your life, and a person can be a good grandma and a good grandpa and finish strong and have a powerful, powerful influence. The Bible says here in verse 31, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. I've seen people like that. I've seen people in our own neighborhood that were, you know, just they were horrible fathers. And they drove their kids out of the house. They drove their wife away from them. But now I see the grandkids over at his house. Man, he loves those grandkids. He's got his arms around them. He plays with them, and they love grandpa, and so on. Isn't that something? We need to take this thing about grandparenting a lot more serious than we do. And we need to be careful about some of the attitudes. Sometimes parents say, well, I raised my kids, now it's their turn to raise their own. And they disconnect from their grandchildren the wealth of wisdom that they have received in their life up to that point. You know, you have a lot of wisdom. You can get a lot of wisdom from making mistakes or from doing things right. Did you know that? You can get wisdom from either one. I know, you know, as I look back and think of the raising my three children, I made some mistakes. I wish I could go back and do those things over. And then there's other things we did right. But you can get wisdom from both. And then when you enter into the realm of being grandparents, you can be the wisest you've ever been in your life. I don't know what it was like growing up for you, but do you remember senior citizens and elderly people and grandparents maybe while you were growing up? And to me, some of these people just seem larger than life. They just seem like giants. I can remember in church the deacons and with their gray hair and their, it was like a crown they were wearing, almost like an aura around them. And they had their Bibles and their suits and their ties, and they'd pray these stately prayers, and they'd know their Bibles, and they could sing the hymns. They didn't even need the hymn book. They could just sing out the hymns, and I used to look up to them like, wow, I don't think I could ever be like them. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way God designed it, so that we can look up to them. The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. And I want to give you five things today that I think you can do as a grandparent, and you that will be grandparents someday. Maybe I'll be a grandparent someday. And some of you children and you teens, wouldn't it be nice if you started planning now and living your life in such a pure and holy and godly way, so that when you became grandparents, your life and your testimony would have so much power, so much influence. We were down in Buffalo yesterday, and we ordained a man, 29 years of age, to the ministry. Brother Craig Jones, a good man, fine young man, loves the Lord, his doctrine, his example is impeccable. He's never been in sin, never been in the world, and so on. And we got him in a room and we talked to him about his doctrine, about his practice, about his behavior, and we examined him, and we knew God had already ordained him. Amen. That's all that matters. We were just there to publicly set him aside in front of the congregation and so on and so forth. And then he got up to give his testimony, and then it all started to click. All started to click. He talked about his grandpa. Talked about his grandpa, who is to this day still a pastor in New York City. Little church. And how godly his grandpa was. And how his grandpa was a man of prayer and a man of the word and a man of the church. And how his grandpa would always take tracts and just go to places where there was just thousands of people in New York City just passing out tracts all the time. He'd go into stores and start witnessing to them. And Craig would follow him around, and sometimes he'd go in the store and he'd have to wait till he was done witnessing to somebody about Christ. And Craig's dad and him moved over here. His dad's a godly man. Moved over here to Buffalo, and they're not with Grandpa, but he used to tell me about Grandpa. He said yesterday, rather, in his little discourse after he was ordained, he talked about his grandpa and how his grandpa used to put his hands on him. Now, his grandpa used to pray that he'd be a pastor someday. And I realize, I know why we're here today. Makes sense now. Makes sense now. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness in grandpa's prayers. That's why Craig Jones. And grandpa's example is why Craig Jones is in the ministry today. Here's some things that we can do as grandparents and those of us that will be grandparents. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, and I'll go through these kind of quickly here. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 9. And I want to show you something that pops out in this verse here. Deuteronomy 4 and verse number 9. It says, "Only take heed thyself and keep thyself diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." Teach them your sons and thy son's sons. So I began to investigate that, and I found out that in the Bible, the phrase son's sons appear four times, the phrase son's daughters appears once, and the phrase children's children appears 10 times. And I kind of came to the conclusion from studying this that when we ask the question, what does the Bible say about being a godly grandparent? The answer is simply this. It says about the same things as being a parent. The same things as being a parent. The same things that makes a father or a mother successful should be continued by a grandma and a grandpa to their sons' sons and to their sons' daughters. Notice there is a biblical basis for you continuing to influence the following generation and not saying, well, I raised my kids, they're on their own now, and they can raise their own. But we need to help out. Now, of course, you don't want to intrude into the business. We'll get to that in a minute here. You don't want to intrude into the business of your sons and daughters when they go off and marry. They're on their own. That's biblical. The Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh, and they begin their own family. But yet there are many opportunities from that point on for grandmas and grandpas to still be a great influence on their sons' sons and their sons' daughters, and these parents, these children, would be wise to draw upon the wisdom of their parents in helping them, as we'll see in a moment. So let me give you five things that you need to do, that we need to do to be good grandparents. Number one is teach. Number one is teach. It says here, teach, verse 9, them thy sons and thy son's sons. Boy, there's power there. There's power there. If you want to just take a moment, look with me over at the book of 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 5. This is the only time that you find in the Bible the word grandmother. The word grandfather never appears, but it is implied, as we said, by the phrases sons, sons, children's children, sons, daughters. There is a responsibility there to continue to influence the next generation. Now, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5 says this, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Notice Timothy here is one of the heroes of the faith, one of the really major characters of the New Testament. He became the first bishop of the church at Ephesus. Two books were written to him by the Apostle Paul. But I want you to notice something about him, that he was profoundly influenced. As Paul was recollecting, he says, when I call to remembrance what? The unfeigned faith that was first in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice. You know, there's a principle taught in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 14, which says this, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. What that means is it just kind of anchors down a truth in a human being's life when they'll hear two or three witnesses say the same thing. When you got grandma influencing Timothy, and you got mom influencing Timothy, and then somehow these two ladies had the divine wisdom to say to Timothy, now you see that man over there named Paul? Attach yourself to him. Follow that preacher. That man knows God. That man walks with God. And between Lois's testimony, Eunice's testimony, and Paul's testimony, Timothy consecrated his whole life to the Lord, even though he came from what seemed to be a difficult home in Acts 16 and verse number 1. And it was the mouth of two or three witnesses, Lois, Eunice, and Paul, I believe, that strongly urged Timothy to follow the Lord. But it started with a grandma. That word grandmother is an interesting word in the Greek. It's the Greek word mammy. Isn't that precious? M-A-M-M-E, Mammy. That's nice. Mammy Lois. And it's a term of endearment. And we need to teach. They taught Timothy. You and I need to teach. And you know, you say, well, I'm not the teaching type. We all teach. We all teach by our example. If they hear us cursing, we're teaching. They hear us screaming, we're teaching. They see us watching television all night long, we're teaching. Hear us gossiping on the phone, on the ride home from church, we're teaching. We're teaching by example. But if they hear us pray, we're teaching. They hear us singing the hymns, kind words. They see our involvement in the Lord's work, the Lord's church. It's all teaching, powerful teaching. It's much more powerful what we do than what we say. When they see us go places, off to all the football games and hockey games, we're teaching. Maybe they see us off the church every time the doors are open. Wouldn't miss for nothing. What? We're teaching. We're teaching. They watch our attitude. If we're bitter, and we're sour, and we're negative, or pessimistic, or we're giving up, we're teaching by our attitude. Or if we're sweet and positive and we're still planning and we're men and women of vision, we are teaching. That grandpa who's a stately, stalwart man, larger than life, as I said. Boy, my grandpa was just larger than life to me. You know, sadly, I was reading in the paper the other day about this rock band that was coming up to, I don't know, Niagara Falls or somewhere. As I was reading about it and heard the ads and so on, I said, is this the same rock band that used to play in the 60s? And so I read the article there in the newspaper, and sure enough it was. And the average member of the rock band is 68 years old. And I thought to myself, man, isn't it time to grow up? What kind of a message does that send out if they've got grandchildren or to the kids of our generation? See, everything we do teaches. As a lady gets older and the scripture says she should become more sweet, more sober, more quiet, more meek, grandma. The law of kindness is in her tongue, and she's got her Bible open and the kids are at her knees and she's singing and so on. Those old-fashioned portrayals of grandmas that are almost despised today, they're powerful. They're effectual. I never met Leslie's grandma. I've told you this story before, but she died before the year before I met Leslie. But she used to have Leslie over to the house, wherever it was, and have her kneel down by the couch, and Grandma Thompson would just put her hands on Leslie and pray for her that someday she would marry a missionary. And the ironic thing was when I met Leslie, that God was working in my heart. I didn't know what, some of my first thoughts about the ministry was I told her, I think God wants me to be a missionary. Grandma. That's influence. Brother Jones, grandpa, saying you need to be a pastor someday. Teaching by their example. I want to encourage you to be a teacher by your example, by your words. Teach your sons and your sons' sons. And number two, be supportive of their parents. Be supportive of their parents. Their parents are the God-ordained authorities in their life. You are not. But you are there to supplement and to complement their homes. And wise parents will use godly grandparents to help raise their children. Support the children's parents. You know, we kind of laugh at this, but it's really not funny when you think about it. But I remember seeing, you know, ladies, I don't know, this was popular some time back. We'd see some little grandmother walking around with a shirt on it, and it would say something like this: "If Daddy says no, ask Grandma." And we'd laugh and chuckle and so on and so forth, but really it's not funny. And it's not. Grandma and Grandpa ought to support, you know, even the quirkiness of some parents. I know Roy back there, Jan were my kids' grandparents. Jan's in heaven now, but I'm sure they must have thought some of the things we're doing are pretty quirky. You know, especially when they're young, no TV. We homeschool and so on and so forth, but they were always supportive. Always supportive of what we did. And boy, that sure helped. Don't spoil your grandkids, but be supportive of their parents and their parents' convictions. Learn what your children's convictions. Learn what they are. If there's a certain diet they're limiting their children to, or watching habits on TV and computers and so on and so forth, and if there's things that parents don't want them to have, if there's a certain time when they're supposed to be in bed, then whatever that time is at their house needs to be that time at Grandma's house and Grandpa's house. Kids will test you. No candy at mom and dad's, no candy at grandma and grandpa's. No pop at mom and dad's, no pop at grandma and grandpa's. You support them. You are going to do your children, your grandchildren a world of good by always supporting the God-ordained authority in their life. And so reinforce all the godly teaching that they are getting from their parents, and be supportive and reinforce those things. And then number three, avoid hypocrisy. Avoid hypocrisy. There is a interesting verse in Ecclesiastes chapter number 10, and verse number 1 that says this, and I think this is a good verse for senior citizens to take note of, Ecclesiastes 10 verse 1. Kind of strange, but this is what it says. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Now, who should be in reputation for wisdom and honor? A lot of people. But who are we talking about today? Grandma and Grandpa should be in reputation of wisdom and honor. We ought to see it. We ought to embrace that powerful position we have. And it is powerful. Man, did you ever see grandkids look up to Grandma and Grandpa? Wow, it's powerful. We need to embrace that. But we need to understand that that is a time of reputation for wisdom and honor. It's a time to be stately. It's a time to be grave. It's a time where we've finally grown up and put away all childish things. It's a time where now we're thinking about future generations and not ourselves. We're not selfish. We're not self-serving anymore. We're trying to finish strong before we enter into the kingdom of heaven in our influence back down here on earth. And we want to make the best of it and be godly grandparents. But it says this, it says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. The apothecary, of course, is the person that makes perfume and ointments in the process. They do it and all that type of a thing. Ointment is very, very precious. Always has been, always will be. There is a lady mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four of the Gospels, who took a alabaster box of, the Bible says this in Matthew 26:7, very precious ointment. And she broke the box and she poured the ointment over Jesus Christ's body just before his crucifixion, because she had so much faith that that Christ was going to die for her. She wanted to anoint his body for the burial. She took the most precious word, that the disciples got upset. And they started murmuring and they'd say, why was this waste of the ointment made? This could have been sold for 300 pence. Now, a pence was a day's wages. So 300 pence would be a 300 days' wages for a man. Well, how many days a year does a man work? About 300 days. That's a year's wages. And she took what was her life savings, as I've explained before, the expensive Easter boxes, fill it with ointment. If her husband should die, they'd sell the ointment off a little bit at a time. That was their life insurance policy. She gave it all to the Lord. And they said, what a waste. The Lord said, no, this is not going to be a waste. The Lord said, everywhere the gospel is preached in this world, what that lady has done for me is going to be preached as a testimony for her. And she made it. She made it to the end without what she thought was most precious to her. But she gave it to the Lord. But back then, and even nowadays, you can get little bottles of perfume that cost you $60 or $100 or something like that for an ounce or more. And boy, you multiply that by the number of ounces in a gallon, and some of that stuff's like over $1,000 a gallon. It's precious stuff. You know what it's saying? It's saying, listen, your senior years are precious. Your senior years are valuable. Your senior years are like ointment. Your senior years are when you should be in reputation for wisdom and honor. And I don't know about you, but man, when I looked up to my grandpa knew everything. There wasn't anything grandpa didn't know. He was amazing to me. I mean, he was like 10 foot tall. You name it, he knew about it. And that's how it's supposed to be. Then it says a little folly can spoil the whole thing. A couple flies in the ointment can spoil the whole thing. Senior citizens, I love you, but stay out of the casinos. Stay away from sin. And live an impeccable testimony in front of your grandkids as your life winds down. If it be found in the way of righteousness. Live a righteous life. We've all known, and I'm not going to give any examples, but we've all known somebody who seemed to live such a holy, godly life right up till they're like 50 years old, 60 years old, and then they do something and say, what in the world? And it stunk up the whole testimony of that man or that woman. God forbid it could happen to all of us. But we need to live in such a way that we don't fall and stink up the whole thing. You know, children and grandchildren, they'll overlook our humanity, but they'll really struggle with our hypocrisy. I know we all, I'll be the first to raise my hand, that there's been times where I've preached one thing and done the exact opposite. And I hope it hasn't been too often. That's hypocrisy. The children and grandkids will overlook your humanity. They will. They're going to struggle with your hypocrisy and my hypocrisy. We need to avoid hypocrisy. Then number four, lay up for your children. Lay up for your children. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14, the parents should lay up for the children. The parents should lay up for the children. An interesting verse in Proverbs. But it says this in Proverbs 19 and verse number 14, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers. We need to lay up for our children. I'm not saying we need to spoil them and buy them everything and so on and so forth. In fact, you ought to avoid that. You ought to teach them discipline and character and hard work and the incentive to go out and be industrious and take care of themselves and so on and so forth. You'll profit doing that. But you know, parents ought to help their kids when they can. houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers. The parents should lay up for the children. The number one pressure on children today, when they get married, is a financial pressure. You know what it is? It's a house. Buying a house. Now, not so much around here. I've seen two of my kids get houses because we're so blessed to live in this area. The housing market, you know, some of the taxes are high, but the housing market's cheap. And so thank the Lord for two of them. It hasn't been a struggle. But, you know, that's usually the number one pressure on kids is a house payment. Oh, yes. And if parents can help in any way, and you haven't raised a bunch of ingrates, those kids are going to be eternally thankful to you. Amen? When we bought our little shack, Leslie and I, back in 83, well, you're really cheap. But Roy Thompson back there took all the money, laid it down on the table, pay it off. Amen. That relieved Leslie and I of so much pressure financially. Now, they could do it because they had lived pretty wisely, saved up money, amen. Not a lot of parents do that nowadays. They don't think, you know, maybe I can help my kids here. And we didn't pay that much for the house, but we paid them back $100 a month. And I haven't had a mortgage payment in 17 years. I will never, ever forget what that man did for me. Ever. Now, we all can't do that. But we ought to live in such a responsible way with our finances. And you kids, start learning this. Start saving your money while you're a teenager. Why? You might be a grandparent someday. You're going to want to help your children, your grandkids. But we ought to live in such a responsible way. And again, I know that, you know, sometimes we fail in these first three realms. And we'll get over here in the last one and say, God, help me do my best. Maybe you can't do all this stuff. But we ought to lay up for the children, not spoil. But I'll tell you what, if I outlive Roy, I don't know if I will. He just keeps kicking back there. But I will be eternally grateful to that man for what he did for us. Because we haven't had the financial pressures that have caused so much marital problems on a lot of people. Because of that. I want to say, last of all, pray for them. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. One more story and I'll close. I heard a preacher, very well-known preacher. Sometimes he's in the Sword of the Lord magazine. You see ads for his materials. Just he has profoundly influenced people all over this nation, probably all over the world. I heard him give his testimony one time. He's been in the ministry over 40 years. The good Lord's blessed him, used him, his writings, his tapes and audios go all over the world. I heard him give his testimony one time. He said back, he had a grandpa. And he said his grandpa had a girl who got married who became with child, and that child was the preacher who's been pastoring for 40 years. As soon as that grandfather heard that his daughter was pregnant, he began to pray this prayer, six things, and prayed these six things every single day of her pregnancy and every single day of his life. Number one, for his salvation. Number two, that God would keep him away from sin. Number three, that he would have a heart for God. Number four, that the parents would have wisdom in raising the children. Number five, that the boy would become a leader and not a follower. Number six, that he would find a mate in the future that he could marry who would want to serve the Lord with him. Probably give you a good advantage having a grandpa praying for you like that while you're still in the womb and out of the womb. Does God answer prayer according to his will? And it's no surprise that man's been in the ministry 40 years. You know why? Because of the prayers of his grandpa. It's no surprise Leslie married a missionary, pastor, church planner, whatever, because of the prayers of her grandma. It's no surprise I laid these hands on Craig Jones yesterday and prayed over him to become a pastor. But long before I ever prayed for him, grandpa back in New York City was praying for him. Praying for. Teach by your example. Be supportive and reinforce the standards of the parents. Never go against the parents, ever. Avoid hypocrisy. Lay up for the children best you can. Then pray for them. Pray for them. This is godly parenting, grandparenting. We don't hear much about it, but yet most of us are going to probably become that someday. Some of you are. What a great realm of influence. May God help us. I'd like us to bow our heads for a word of prayer. And those of you that are new at the church, we always close with a word of prayer. And what we have an invitation. We call it an invitation, where sometimes people just want to come and pray about something they've heard and something on their heart. Maybe sometimes people want to be saved and know Jesus as their Savior. And we encourage you to come to the front or go to the back, and somebody will counsel with you and show you how you can accept Jesus as your Savior today. Let's pray. Our Father, bless now this song as we sing, and help us, Lord, help even the youth that are here to think that maybe they could start preparing for great success in the future, Lord, by preparing to be grandparents and the newlyweds, those that aren't have children yet, and those that are fathers and mothers. Oh, God, if we could just one day reclaim this, Lord, we pray that we then as grandparents could powerfully influence the next generation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.